Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, the fluffiest man on this podcast, and with me I have...
Call me Big John. I'm unhealthy as fuck, y'all!
And...
I'm Market. Wait, Wendy's has a mixtape, but we haven't made ours yet?
You know, we would have got on that by now if our beat maker was actually interested for contributing to the project.
Well, I've had some stuff come up that's gotten in the way, which I will get to momentarily, that's prevented me from doing pretty much anything the past several weeks.
Yeah, we heard the story.
I'm still working on a job.
I have site stuff. I have too much dignity.
When did we start talking about Tyler?
Oh, boy.
We got all the producers. We got no outside motherfuckers.
Metro Boomin.
Yeah, that's who you didn't was available for shit.
I mean, he trusts me, so...
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise he'll shoot you.
Yes, he will. Or he'll work on another crappy Quavo, Future, Gucci, Tyga, whatever the fuck collab Uzi project. That too.
Or Big Sean. The nigga never stopped working.
It's like some unofficial collective that they haven't given a name yet. It's like the rap equivalent of Puff Puff Pass. You know, on top of when they're already doing Puff Puff, Fuck You, Get Your Own. But yes, Wendy's mixtape. You know, the sad thing is, I don't hate it. I don't. I recognize it's a capitalist novelty, but it's okay.
It's a novelty we haven't seen in 30 years since McDonald's had those promotional FlexiDisc vinyls that if you got the right one, you win some money.
Swag.
But I want to know what it is. There's a hold up against the Hamburger Helper mixtape.
Oh, we don't talk about that.
Wait, we don't? I haven't heard that one.
That's why we don't talk about it.
Hmm. Yeah. So anyway, episode 74. Have y'all been doing?
Well, I've had a stupidly duper weekend, so I've been kind of sick for the past couple of weeks, and I didn't know what was wrong with me. I figured, okay, maybe I got like some kind of bug or respiratory infection, so I've been to the Mini-Clinic a couple of times in the past 2 weeks, and the medicine they gave me wasn't helping. I've been taking... Singulair, antibiotics, inhalers, nothing. So, on Friday, I was feeling like garbage, so I decided, you know what? I got insurance. I'm gonna go to the doctor. And they ran some tests. The good news is, I don't have strep throat. The bad news is, I contracted mono.
How?
I don't know! That's the thing. I honestly have no idea how I got it or when I got it, but I got it.
Wait, what the heck's mono?
Mononucleosis, aka the kissing disease. Before you ask, no, I have not been macking any other guys. I'm much more reclusive in real life, trust me.
So it is an STD?
No, it's...
Oh.
It's a bacteria thing. It's... Look, I live in a very filthy city, okay?
You don't have to tell me twice. It's rotten both biologically and morally.
And that's just Marco Rubio.
Hey!
Yeah, so they gave me some medicine, which thankfully I had my insurance on me, so I didn't have to pay for the doctor's visit or the medicine. They gave me pretty much just a super drug steroid thing that's been clearing up my lungs, which... Thankfully, I've been feeling a lot better, even if the pain in my body will come at the most opportune time of the night, which is not fun at all.
No, it does not sound fun at all.
No. But in better news, I am now employed again. Hooray! I can be a regular jack-off once again and make that money.
You have You have a job now!
Yes, I have a job!
Again.
Swag.
Yes. And it comes with benefits. Lots and lots of benefits.
Hopefully those are some good benefits.
Yeah.
Like, memes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I'm allowed to disclose what they are, since I don't want to give away which company I'm working for to on a public forum like this, so I'll just keep it kind of hush-hush, but yeah, I'm ready to get back to work.
Go to work. Oh wait, I need the list for Sunday.
I hope I don't have to work on Sunday. That's the best day of the year. Adult Swim's prank day.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's also this Easter thing. Might have heard of it.
Is that the same as Zombie Jesus Day?
I believe it is.
Yes. Mark, what about you?
So last Monday after we recorded, turns out a storm happened. A storm, as in thunderstorm, tornado. Well, there's a tornado next to mine, which that got hit hard. Mm. They hit hard. It's like, that whole shit happened. It happened around there. I will say, and hey, I've gotten a bit. I think the cough I had is starting to go away. I'm starting to get better now, which is good. And that's pretty it.
Yeah, cool. I mean, not cool. The storms are bad, obviously.
Yeah, the yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean, good about the cough thing.
Yeah. It just came back around to me in a very much worse way.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Thoroflu, for knocking my ass out.
Anyway, as for me, there was one thing of note that I did experience. Many of you who listen to this probably are aware of that one time we recorded, me and Alex at least, a 4-hour podcast with our mutual friend Chris. Well, he's a friend of mine at least. So he was doing a giveaway on his radio show for a concert between The Buried and Me, The Deer Hunter, and Leprous. So I, you know, did the thing I was told. And I won some tickets. It was 2 tickets. I only went by myself because I'm a sad, lonely bastard with no friends.
Should have scalped the other one. Made some money.
What am I, a douchebag?
No, but you want to make some money, don't you?
I can make money while preserving a sense of dignity, you know? Do I look like Mike Michaud to you?
And that place is on fire right now. Don't put it out. Just let it burn. Let it burn. It'll calm down eventually, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, so, yeah, that's what I did with myself this past Saturday. Went to my 4th Between the Buried and Me show. And, of course, they were touring with Leprous, who, this was my first time seeing them. As far as their set, they mostly stuck to stuff from their last album, The Congregation, which, if I haven't mentioned here, was my number one favorite album of 2015. So that's like the year before we started doing this whole podcast thing. And the last one they came out with, Melina, which some of that stuff was pretty fun, especially when they got the, you know, big upright violin thing. I don't think it was a double bass necessarily because it didn't sound like one. But
cello?
Yeah, that's the one. You know, insert Lil Yachty joke here. But yeah, you know, that set was pretty damn cool. They're just... it just sounded really elegant and magnificent as on record. Then after them was some prog band I'd never heard of called The Deer Hunter. There was some shoegazy elements. There was some theatrical, almost kind of like carnival festival type elements going on. It was really like grandiose theatrical in a sense. I mean, shit, at one point they segued into a song by just straight up playing This Is Halloween, like on all their instruments and shit. And then, of course, the big feature presentation of the night. Again, for me, BT Bam, round 4. As far as their set, of course, naturally, they opened... It was mainly stuff from, like, their last 3 albums. Obviously, they didn't play anything from, like, Colors. I can't imagine why. It's a mystery. But yeah, of course, opening with Condemned to the Gallows, then Into the Coma Machine, Dim Ignition, then there was, what was the other one? Millions, you know, that's the really proggy ballad one off Automata 1. Then, you know, Gold Distance and Blot. So already they pretty much played like two-thirds of Automata 1 at that point. Then, of course, there was, you know, stuff from Parallax 2. Astral Body, Lay Your Ghost to Rest, the back half of Obfuscation. Oh, they actually did include at least one from The Great Misdirect, Obfuscation, so I guess make that last four albums. And then the encore was, of course, Silent Flight Parliament, because what else are you going to close out a BT BAM concert on? And then, best part of the night for me, personally, I was actually able to get a recorded, drop for my university radio station from, Blake Richardson. I'm have to talk to see who I can submit that to, but I'm hoping it goes through. I mean, it's not like there aren't, like, I guess, metal drops in the rotation, but the only one they have, like, at the moment is, Matt from August Burns Red, so here's hoping I can get it through. Mm-hmm. But yes, you know, very fun night, very exciting, you know, just, I always have fun watching these guys live. It's just so good, man. I'm a fucking stan, I'll admit that right now.
Yeah, they're a great band live. I recall seeing them with Devin Townsend a while back. That was an awesome show. They stole the show.
Indeed, I bet they did. Not to mention, of course, Blake's drum setup, which we were talking about before we started recording.
He's becoming the Carter Beauford of prog metal, and that's not a bad thing either, but that kid just looks ergonomically weird.
Embrace the absurdity. I say it's not weird enough. Add more, sir.
But well, then anyway, you get a kid like Mac Mangini's.
And now you say that like it's a bad thing.
Or am I?
I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's basically about it for my week. And that's it for the formality. So now let's jump into the usual topic. A little deeper than usual now that I'm looking at the timesheet here. but let's get to the new song discussions. So as always, there'll be a playlist link down in the description so you can follow along with us, so you can judge the songs for your own and then judge us for our lukewarm to kind of hot takes on them. Let's start right at the top here. First, a little bit of history. A long time ago, during the tail end of the 90s, there was a metal band called Burn the Priest. They released one album in 1999 before quickly changing monikers to the now more famous Lamb of God. And the rest is basically modern metal history. Hear, hear. I bring this up because there was a rather surprising announcement recently that apparently the group is reviving the Burn the Priest moniker for a new covers album called Legion XX, I guess to celebrate pretty much 20 years that the group had been together. This is coming out May 18th, and the album, as we said, is a covers record, mainly a lot of, like, you know, old school crossover thrash, some industrial, some hardcore. They're mostly covering stuff, you know, like Bad Brains, Cro-Mags, Agnostic Front. There's even a Ministry cover in there. So, yeah, you can expect this to be at least an interesting way of, you know, doing this whole concept thing. So, we actually have the first release off the album, which is a cover of a song called Inherit the Earth by an old crossover thrash band called The Accused. Now, the original version is about what you would expect from the era. Plenty of thrash beats, you know, D beats and double bass drumming, you know, that standard, you know, double time beats. The vocals are pretty throat shreddingly yelpy. Naturally, music from this period, the musicianship is pretty, like, sloppy and unrefined, but, you know, that's kind of what you expect from metal of that period. Naturally, the Burn the Priest version sort of sticks to, like, basically the bullet points of the song, but naturally slicking up the production and musicianship so that way everything's a lot tighter and it sounds a lot crisper and, you know, punchier. You know, the drum fills aren't as sloppy. They're, of course, it's fucking Chris Adler drums. What do you expect? It's all good. The one thing that definitely I find most intriguing is that Randy's vocal delivery on this thing, I mean, there's some of that, you know, traditional deep growls that kind of, you know, swell as he holds them out, but a lot of this tends to stick more mid to high range sort of, you know, yelps and shrieks, which is more in line with what he was doing during the Burn the Priest days. It's not a bad song. I'm curious to see what they do with this whole conceit once it's out.
Mm-hmm. Same here. Pretty good cover. I looked up some stuff on The Accused. Those guys had big influences all over the rock and metal scene in the 90s. Like everything from, you know, punk and thrash to stuff like even grindcore. Crazy.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's about it. So let's move on to the next song here. And we'll shift things over to Mark so he can fanboy the fuck out here. So go ahead.
So yes, once again, all the Golden Boys, a.k.a. Denzel Curry and IDK, they dropped another song out. There's like, how many songs out? You know, like
three.
Like the third one they shot together. Are they doing an album together or something? Which I kind of hope.
I'm hoping. Yeah.
It is time. They got a new song called And this shit for 2 minutes. This shit is some flint. Is some flames. This shit is fire. This is definitely them spitting out some very harsh lyrics about how they call out those motherfuckers that love to chase fame and clout, trying to do it just to get a lot of fame for no work lesson. You know, with stuff like, you know, lyrics like stupid niggas get a lot of fame, I don't fuck with you because you were lame, so I can push a nigga out of the frame, spin kick, leaf hurricane, hit a nigga with a Novocaine, Yeah, especially if this definitely some fire shit, especially with IDK. Well, it's probably going to check your pockets 40 low, then click with the 44. You hear undertone, click it back and let it go. Front page centerfold mugshot, there you go. I know how the story go. You can read it in the post. Basically, you know, no cycle of those, you know, those who try to earn street cred, but not for the right reasons. Trying to, you know, get that clout for, you know, just to be that fame whore.
Stay in drugs, don't do school, kids. That is a lesson here. Also,
Actually, I believe the term is stay in milk, eat your drugs, and don't try this at home.
And the biggest lesson to take away from this is, after three straight songs of this, I can finally confirm Denzel Curry is the exact type of badass that XXX Tentacion thinks he is.
Pretty much, yes. Yes, that's
how you do it.
Mm. Now, again, Florida nigga.
Yes, Florida. Now, where's that collab mixtape? We're waiting. Because I gotta tell you, I can't quench my musical thirst with bullshit like Under Oath.
Oh, good. They're back.
Yeah, we got another song from their big comeback record, Erase Me, on April 6th. It's called Rapture, and boy, this shit is lame. Like, there's this, like, really lazy industrial shit in there. The actual songwriting is weak as fuck. The instrumentation is, like, so basic. You could pretty much call it's definitely one of those, like, verse-chorus, bridge-chorus, outro type of things. It is the most stock song structure in the world. You're almost surprised it doesn't include the most basic drum beat in the world. You all know the one. Again, why do metalcore dorks like this band again? Why do all the scene core kids flock to Under Oath? Why?
I don't know, but this is certainly radio rock. And I'm still not overly impressed with this. This still does absolutely nothing for me. Continue sucking on Under Oath, and I'll just, listen to good music.
Jeez, it's like, no wonder radio's dying if this is the best that they can offer. But anyway, let's move on from that to a new Flatbush Zombies track.
All right. So, if you know, they got an album coming out, the second studio album. Vacation in Hell coming up next week, actually. And, so, yep. and they got another single coming out. It's called You and I, which you misspell U and A.
Yeah. I was drafting this list when I was tired. What do you want from me?
Okay. Anyway, the song is more of an introspective song. From the song with, you know, focus on them upbringings in life, which is like with this movie, with this very, you know, somber kind of somber beat. Maybe from member Eric Ark Elliott Danis. I'm not. Yeah, that's a weird name, but good. But yeah. This is a I kind of dig the song for how for where it's going. Like they say, they are, you know, bringing up their, you know, they're coming up in life as living around, especially with Michi Darko in the fourth verse, which he really owned that part right there. We're going like where he's spinning out stuff like, you know, like his mama working three jobs, one dude with drama because I was wild and he used to really see his father separated, couldn't keep his dick in his pajamas because he's out there hustling, trying to be a provider, trying to turn a pretty penny into $1 million, thinking about my family that bipolar disorder due to karma, my first youngin' going to be a daughter. When I was five, I told my mama I wanted to die, which, you know, shit.
Yeah.
That's stuck for a 5-year old.
Very, very dark. But yeah, I don't really have much to add to that. I mean, I'm digging it. I'm keeping an eye out on this thing. I might have to give it a spin or two.
Yeah.
And now for this next song here. I believe this was something that Alex brought to our attention, so by all means, clue us in.
Okay, so one of the hottest rising stars in the prog scene, to me anyway, is Australia's Pliny, a damn fine guitarist that specializes in more of an atmospheric style of prog guitar noodling and the occasional Kendrick Lamar mashup. And this new track of his, Salt Plus Chemical, has that in spades with plenty of atmosphere, booming bass, percussion all over, an omnipresent choir, and that growing signature guitar style of his. It's very upbeat there, and with some... It almost sounds like he's doing a lot of finger picking, but, you know, he knows his way around the fretboard, which is excellent if you want some prog guitar noodling that doesn't turn into full-on wankery, which, let's be real, it sometimes crosses over into that domain a little too far. But the best way I could describe this track is it's if you would take some of Devin Townsend's Epic Cloud atmosphere and add in some more upbeat guitar leads. That's the best way I could describe this track. And everyone out there, this guy is great. Don't sleep on him. He's a true damn talent.
Yep, these leads definitely sound more chipper and clean than the usual stuff. Although, was there actually like a proper bass on this thing? Because I noticed like it was really like, you know, thick on the low end. I didn't know if that was just like alternate picking between like the... Like, does he play 6 strings, 7, 8?
I believe he plays 6 and 7 strings, but there was an actual, bassist and drummer and vocalist and, you know, keyboards on the track.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where, like, the bass and drum grooves are, like, they're thick and noticeable, but there's also, like, a sparseness, which kind of makes sense with, like, the floaty, clean guitar leads. Especially with that syncopated, like, bass groove starting near the back end. And then, like, all the synths and the vocal choir layers kick in. This is, I'm intrigued. I'll have to keep an eye out for this Pliny fellow. You know, if they're dropping something, which we didn't get an announcement for that.
Yeah, okay. That might come a little bit later, right? This is just a one-off little single I found.
Right. And moving on from that to a band that has been in the game for many, many years at this point, Amorphis, their latest studio album, Queen of Time, coming out May 18th. And we have the lead-off single, The Bee, which, to make the best point of reference, because this band's got a fucking lot of albums, this is very much akin to the material on their late 2000s release, Skyforger. I think that might have been 2009 or 2007. But yeah, that record... you know, there's those really chugging, you know, guitar and drum grooves, lots of those very layered, like, power metal keyboards, like this is some fucking, like, Camelot or Sonata Arctica shit. It sounds all, you know, epic and sweeping and profound or something, even if this does kind of feel like it's just more amorphous at this point. It's not bad or anything, but again, much like the Under Oath song, it's one of those songs that I'm pretty sure almost quite literally is just verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, outro type of things, which is weird for this being like one of those like 5 minute like power metal tracks. You'd think they'd be more inventive on the structuring.
Well, shock of all shocks, another band I've been sleeping on because I don't branch out far enough. I know, I'm terrible. But going into this, I had more of a focus on the music than the lyrics, and certainly a pleasant surprise of a lot of progressive death metal. And I'll be more complimentary to this track. The structure is kind of basic, but it to me it works. The layering of the structure with the dual vocals and all the guitars and strings, it works for me.
I mean, it's not bad or anything, but yeah, it's just like there's a lot of stuff here. If you ever decide to delve into the backlog, there's a lot of shit. So, yeah, be prepared.
I will take that into consideration.
Anyway, moving on to the last song of the week. Of course, this past week's entry in the Adult Swim Singles program. This is coming from electronic producer Caitlin Aurelia Smith. And apparently this comes with a bit of an announcement in and of itself. Apparently she's kickstarting, this is the first release from a independent label that she's actually started. She's planning a new musical project where she releases like an iteration of it every year outside of her album cycles that musically, I guess, is going to tinge out of her usual, like, you know, sort of soothing, melodious ambience style. I don't know if the proper name of the project is Abstractions, because this track is titled, I guess technically speaking, Volume 1 Abstractions. So I don't know if that's going to be the permanent name going forward. But yeah, that's what we got here. Got this 22-minute, you know, track. Basically the length of, like, an anime episode minus the OPs and EDs.
But or basically Sword Guy, if you've watched that show, which, yeah, no, it, don't watch it.
I won't watch it. But yeah, you know, that's the length of song that we're dealing with here. And again, compared to the usual melodious vibes of the usual Smith stuff, this one is certainly very... What's the word I'm looking for here? It starts with an A. It has a lot of spaces. Oh yeah, aesthetic.
Aesthetic.
That's there's the one. That word again.
It's a lot of like very sparse, stuttering, hazy electronic synths. You know, they tweet up and down, they, you know, drone on for long bits of time. And of course, amidst all of that, there's a lot of really zany, wacky sound effects. You know, like, you have a lot of these computery bleeps and blips, you know, springs, bouncing, slide whistles, scratch noises, xylophones. A lot of it sounds like old cartoons and shit. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's like, if you mix either Once Just Put Never and any Hanna-Barbera cartoon sound effects.
And, you know, as the song, you know, drones on, you still eventually get these more droning, like, spacey synth tones, a lot of buzzy glitchiness, and, you know, it's the kind of thing, again, we say this a lot with these songs, but this really is, like, a vibe track. This is, like, 106 Point Never composing for an Epcot attraction. I just felt a very, like, serene night, you're, like, very alone at Disney kind of night. And, you know, in that respect, it's really interesting. I can mess with this.
I can definitely ride with this, if, you know, if I can sit down for 22 minutes, which, well, during my day, I guess I can.
What else are you going to do 22 minutes of your time? Watch Sword Guy?
Oh, boy.
Obviously. But, yes. That is that song. That is the single. Of course, those are all the new song discussions completed. Now we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we got quite a bit of news to discuss here. More so than the past few weeks. So, stick around, kids. We'll be right back. And we're back. To start off with, we got an album announcement. Yes, after many, many teases and weird images showing off collaborators and stuff, we finally know the name of the latest project from the official band of the Needle Drop, Death Grips. Yellow Flannel. So, yeah, they made a post on all their social medias, just, you know, black background, white text. No, it's not that font. Yes, you're allowed to sing the music. Death Grips, Year of the Snitch. New album coming soon. So at the very least, we know there's something. At least we know there's something. Which will evidently include Tool bassist Justin Chancellor, and as previously mentioned, Andrew Adamson, the director of Shreks 1 and 2, the official films of SurrealResolution.com. Well, Shrek 2 at least. Shrek 1, you gotta be in the right mood for it. But yeah.
The only way this could be more dank is if Big Daddy Derek decided to join in. Although I'm pretty sure he's a little too busy going on the whole crisis actor conspiracy right now. What the fuck, Cool Cat? I thought we were cool. I thought we were friends. You betrayed us, you fucker.
Wait, isn't that the same guy who was trying to throw around fucking copyright strikes on anyone making critiques of that?
That's
fucking
the
Cool
same
Cat
guy.
Movie?
That's the same guy.
Yeah, fuck that bastard. Yeah, ain't I a stinker, you piece of shit. But yeah, so we're waiting. I need my Death Grips. I need the album of the year, at least one of the top tens. But let's move on to another artist that I'm sure we're all desperately waiting for new material for. 103 Point Never. Obviously, his last proper studio album was 2015's Garden of Delete, but he hasn't been slouching in the meantime. Of course, we got that Good Times soundtrack from last year. And apparently, he's got a little bit of a multimedia project in the works. Apparently, this is some kind of, you know, performance, like, live show project thing called Myriad. It's going to be premiering at New York's Park Avenue Armory during the Red Bull Music Festival. It's his first live ensemble performance, and apparently will feature some new music. So obviously he's got something. Whether this is music just for the performance or signs of a 2018 album remains to be seen. But remember to check all those social medias in case he does more viral marketing stuff like he did with Garden of Delete. To quote a press release, it describes Myriad as a multi-level, daring, immersive performance built specifically for one of New York's greatest performing arts spaces. And of course, the trailer is the usual weird 103 Point Never stuff. It flashes a lot of imagery at you at a really fast pace, and it's hard to catch most of it, but I caught Bugs Bunny, Tom and Jerry, and the logo for Mother 3. Not to mention, there's, like, a point where, like, the moon, the planet gets engulfed by, like, pure blinding white light, and then it does, like, the scroll of all the information, you know, Park Avenue Armory, May 22nd and May 24th, and then it says, like, there's the ages, which, of course, the age of harvest, the age of excess, the age of bondage, and because this is Lopatin, we're talking about the age of echo. So does this mean, like, I don't know, he might revisit the whole Chuck Persons thing?
Yeah, I think the one, I wonder if you come back to that. I mean, because remember he teases something, Welcome Back to the New Nightmare, and notice Welcome Back is all spaced out. Well, you know, that part. All in, you know, aesthetic.
I'm telling you, man, Vaporwave is going to shoot right back to the mainstream, and Frank JFC is going to have a whole bunch of new videos to make. It's going to be the memest shit ever. Anyway, let's move on from that to Schadenfreude, and who better to usher us in than our homeboy Alex? So take it away, sir.
Yes. So a while back, there was a bit of a brouhaha regarding a certain track by one-time playboy, nowadays sad sack, Robin Thicke. The track, of course, being Blurred Lines. let the flashbacks commence to a terrible time in our lives.
I don't want to think about it. You can't make me.
At least we got Random Access Memories in 2013. Yeah, so we got that. But, yeah, so the controversy was that this track, Blurred Lines, borrowed some elements from Marvin Gaye's 1977 song, Gotta Give It Up. And they went to court over it. Twice. But just a couple days ago, on March 21st, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals sided with a lower court, stating that Gotta Give It Up was, quote, entitled to broad copyright protection because musical compositions are not confined to a narrow range of expression. As such, the court confirmed that Gaye's estate is entitled to 50% of all royalties from that song forever.
And ever, and ever, and yeah. Ever, and
but,
ever. Oh,
and as for T.I., he's cool. He's not liable for this. But the lesson here is actually very, very simple. Credit your samples. Otherwise, you get this. Or the guys who did Bittersweet Symphony.
Actually, I prefer if the lesson here would be, let's just stop, paying attention to Robin Thicke, please. Let's just let him fade into the ether.
Don't worry, nobody bought Paula.
The fuck is Paula?
Exactly. Yes. And going back to my original lesson, seriously, credit your samples. You don't know how much legal trouble that will get you into.
And speaking of legal troubles,
Oh boy.
We must once again visit this topic, the ever-evolving fable of Wu-Tang Clan's Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, which, shit, at this point, like, documenting the history of this one object, it's like they're gonna have to put this, like, in a fucking museum, and there's gonna be, like, just people documenting every aspect of its existence. So, as we discussed last time, or maybe a couple weeks ago, Martin Shkreli has officially been, like, sentenced to 7 years in prison, and the U.S. District Court of the Eastern District of New York, they've ordered him that he has to give up, like, $7,360,450 worth of assets, which, of course, include that record, Lil Wayne's The Carter Five, Picasso painting, a share in Vira Pharmaceuticals, all that shit. But, there's a bit of a, like, what's gonna happen to the album in the meantime? Like, okay, yeah. He hands it over, now what? And here is the quote from the filing, from the records, quote, "The United States hereby gives notice of its intent to dispose of the forfeited property in such manner as the United States Attorney General may direct." Now, for those who don't pay a lot of attention to politics, that Attorney General is Russia bot number 45783-B, Jeff Sessions.
The fucking Keebler elf.
Yes.
But I say, of all people, him as in the guy who's known to be a racist asshole. Who knows? He pretty much. Yeah, I'll say hates niggas, and he's in charge. Yeah, and pot too, and he's in charge of handling that routine of them.
Life's just not fair, man.
Why, though?
There is more to this story, though.
Go on.
Mm-hmm. It's in regarding to the actual ownership of the content of said album, which, at least for Silver Rings and RZA, they own 50% of the master recording. And reportedly, with the contract they made with Shkreli before, he got caught being an asshole to rich people, there was a designation that the buyer could not sell the album until 88 years, yes, 88 years after the initial purchase, after which it would be considered like fine art of some kind. But that brings in the legitimacy of this transfer of ownership, because it wasn't sold, it was seized by the federales.
Yep, in the same way that the government can seize a fucking fuck ton of pounds of shark fins.
Or something. So, in other words, Sessions can't burn the shit. Or if he does, what will happen if he does? I don't know.
Well, I think it's fair to assume that if the fucking Keebler elf decides to dispose of this, there will be a lawsuit. Because remember, Wu-Tang Clan ain't no one to fuck with.
He disrespected the Wu-Tang Clan. This exists in court documents somewhere.
In 50 years, when we're all wiped out, that will be one of the last traces of our existence left for future species to come down and see just how fucked up we really once were.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I really hope so. And, you know, now that I think about it, you bring that up. Hey, to the person who's writing that new Shonen Jump series, Noah's Notes, if you want to, like, you know, maybe squeeze in a reference to this whole thing and, like, the fucking ruins down there of, like, past civilizations, you know, your whole weird time loop theory thing, you could, just saying. Guess we'll just have to see where that goes. I mean, they got another chapter left, I think, before their jumpstart runs over, but that's going on a tangent. Let's move on to something that's significantly less frustrating. YouTube!
Oh boy.
Where nothing bad is happening recently at all. So, question here. Like, how many of y'all listening to this use YouTube for music, predominantly? You know, like when you're not fucking watching Hot Ones or weird neo-Nazi shit or fucking...
Or Benji for Bavish.
That too. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, like, YouTube, obviously they have their business things in the form of YouTube Red, which lets them, you know, fund, you know, high quality original entertainment or something, whatever they call it. But apparently they're still in the planning stages of its own paid music subscription service in order to compete with Spotify and Apple Music. And here's the thing, in order to convince people to pay into this service, and they pretty much use these exact words, they're pretty much planning to annoy the shit out of you with advertisements. If you're someone like me, who, you know, obviously has to rely on YouTube for listening to a lot of music for this podcast, you know, for research purposes, yeah, this is gonna be excessively annoying.
Yeah.
I am proof of this. I, for the sake of my own peace of mind, pay for YouTube Red every month, A, so that I won't have to see all the friggin' same stupid garbage-ass ads,
and we B... get it, Italy. You're really proud of Peroni for some reason. Even though you have a rich cultural heritage of alcohol, you decide to throw in all your advertising revenue behind what is essentially, like, fucking Heineken, but it knows how to make pasta. Go on.
And B... it's so I can make sure the people who I'm subscribed to in some way get some money, because God knows YouTube isn't paying out for shit.
Well, I mean, that's why we have Patreon, which has been going through absolutely nothing sketchy in the past several months or so.
To be fair, they got that fixed for now, but YouTube is, they just don't know what they're doing right now.
Yeah. In fact, let me cite a direct quote here from Lyre Cohen, a former executive of Def Jam Records, who is now YouTube's global head of music. He said he wanted to, quote, smoke out people who can afford to pay for streaming music and turn them into YouTube subscribers. Quote, there's a lot more people in our funnel that we can frustrate and seduce to become subscribers. Once we do that, trust me, all that noise will be gone, and articles people write about that noise will be gone.
Frustrate and seduce? That's not a good move to use. That's like saying, I'm gonna steal your car and then flirt with you.
You know, I want to say I'm impressed, because at least he's being honest and upfront about it, but, fuck you. Again, I don't feel like seeing fucking Peroni ads. If I want to drink beer like that that's good, I'll just drink Stella Artois, because I have taste. Or Guinness Draught. Sorry, I'm just sick of seeing those fucking ads everywhere.
Welcome to my world. Hey, every website ever, stop having spyware on your websites and I'll turn off my ad blocker.
Yeah, yeah, that's the whole thing. The whole drill of all that. But, yeah, Lair Cohen, two can play at this game. I'm gonna fucking lock you in a room with Dan Schneider and see how you like it.
Oh. Ew. You know he's into foot stuff? Why would you do that?
Simple. To frustrate and seduce him. I mean, it worked for Michelle Obama. I still can't believe that happened. How did I block that out of my head for so long? But whatever, freaking YouTube, like, get your shit together. It's already bad enough that you literally admitted on camera that you can't just fucking send videos to people's sub boxes, that even when they click the notify bell tab, you're still like, eh, the most active subscribers. So it's like, are you literally just admitting that you don't care, that you're actively just pissing people off because you're those, like, fucking bad publicity is still publicity, people? Like, come on.
But it's still bad publicity. It makes you look bad.
Jeez. Still having a better week than Channel Awesome, at least.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely that.
Okay, so let's move on from that to a couple of festival announcements. First up, we got a new festival here. From the co-creators of both Bonnaroo and Outside Lands, their newest festival, it's called Grand Doozy. Which, I gotta be honest, sounds like a secondary character in a current day Shonen Jump manga series.
It's like a Cuphead character.
Yeah, that's... Wait, are we sure that's not a Boston Cuphead? Whatever, it's probably not, but it could be. Cuphead 2. But yeah, the inaugural edition of this festival will take place September 14th through the 16th at the Overland Park Golf Course in Denver, Colorado. So let's look at this here lineup that we got. So, you know, 3-day festival, your Friday headliner, Kendrick Lamar. Your Saturday headliner, Florence and the Machine. And your Sunday headliner, Stevie Wonder.
Ooh. Hey.
And so those are some pretty good headliners right there. You know, love Kendrick. Hey. I like some Florence, and of course Stevie Wonder's the fucking man, even if he did, I just called to say I love you. We let that slide, sort of. Anyway, as for the rest of the lineup here, so we got the Chainsmokers.
Ew!
Logic.
Oh, okay.
Sturgill Simpson.
Oh,
my. Miguel.
Oh, cool.
Phoenix. Who you might remember from their riveting performance at the 2017 Video Game Awards hosted by Jeff Keighley. Young the Giant, Saint Vincent, The War on Drugs, De La Soul, Six Lack, Mavis Staples, Daniel Caesar, Ty Dolla Sign, Big Crit, Snow the Product, Bishop Briggs, Carl Denson's Tiny Universe, Tennis, Kalele, Kevin Morby, Tint Snake, Poolside, Dragon Deer, Gasoline Lollipops, The Soul Rebels, Gangs of Youths, Jade Bird, Bayonne, Floral, Andy Frasco in the UN, Waldorado, Lost Takes, many more. Wait, that last one was not a band, is it?
No.
Well,
this
I mean.
My name, Tennis? This one.
Yeah, Tennis. But yeah, this lineup, I mean, there are names that I like, and again, the big three headliners are all solid choices. I guess it depends how much you know or care for the others. Hopefully they don't end up putting De La Soul and Chainsmokers on the same day, because that would suck.
Oh, okay, oh god, no.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm assuming there's, again, the more parts... you know, maybe there'll be some more interesting announcements as they flesh out the lineup closer to the actual festival time. And, I like how the poster includes an explanation of what doozy means. Doozy, noun, something outstanding or unique of its kind. So what the hell's a grand doozy? I don't get it.
Older version of that? I don't know.
Wow, see, this is gonna be a grand doozy spectacular time. Let's get a sarsaparilla, smoke, and vote for Republican politicians.
Oh, Oh, damn.
Ragtime Dandies. Had to bust that one out. And now, for the last news topic this week, the other festival announcement. Of course, music's greatest tongue twister, Lollapalooza.
Ah, yes. I, too, am a big fan of Lollapalooza.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Yes, yes. Lollapalooza 2018. You know, taking place in Chicago's Grand Park, August 2nd through the 5th. And so let's actually look at these here big old lineup they got. So,
yep.
Starting right at the top, The Weeknd, Bruno Mars, Jack White, Arctic Monkeys, Travis Scott, The National, Vampire Weekend, Odessa, Logic, Sauce. Oh, wait, sorry, I had that smudged on my screen. That is Post Malone. Khalid, All My Friends Are Dead, Lil Uzi Vert, I'm a Rebel Just for Kicks Now, I've been kicking it since 1966 now, Please Give Us Money for God. Vitamin Water, Portugal,
Dance Air Paul Dance,
Your Diabetes,
The Man, no. Tyler the Creator, Who Dat Boy, Churches, St. Vincent, Zed, Excision, Walk the Moon, that chick that's trying to sell me the Google phone, Dua Lipa, LL Cool J, Dylan Francis, Galantis, Camila Cabello, Perry Farrell's Kind... Wait, what the fuck is Perry Farrell doing here? Isn't he busy trying to pretend that another Jane's Addiction album is definitely going to happen for sure? Let's see, Gucci Mane, James Bay, Brock, motherfucking, seriously, are we not getting team effort now? Now you're making an album called Puppy, I don't get Kevin Abstract sometimes, Brockhampton, Catfish and the Bottle Men, Bournes, Diet Led Zeppelin, the joke is Greta Van Fleet. The fuck is it? I don't know what a Tash Sultana is, but Laika Lee, Chromeo, Luke Combs, Tycho,
hey,
Playboi Carti,
yeah,
Franz Ferdinand, Lil Pump,
ew,
Gucci Gang, Rainbow Kitten Surprise,
ooh,
the surprise is it's not actually spray paint on those rainbow kittens. Manchester Orchestra, Daniel Caesar, The Neighborhood, Black Bear, Jungle. Wow, there's a fucking... Jesus Christ, how... Am I even at half yet?
That's a little more.
What woman to take over?
Sure, I guess. I think it was that, like, Zomboy or something.
Yeah, it was Zomboy. We have, let me see if I'm saying this right. Quinn 92?
I don't know.
I think that's how it is.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just Roman numerals. It's weird. Yep. We have Gold. Moving on, we have Goldlink, Billie Eilish. I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah, Hippie Sabotage, A Boogie with the Hoodie.
Fuck you.
Kali Uchis. We have Lizzo, Nav, Jessie Ware, What So Not. Ugh, all-time low for some reason. Lainey, Bebe Rexha, Rex Orange County, Cigarettes After Sex, Anderson East.
Oh.
No, sorry, it's not Pac, it's East. We have Sabrina Claudio, Petite Biscuit, The Wombats, Keizo, Parquet Courts, Alan Walker, Stars, Arizona, it's all spaced out. The Vaccines, Bomba Estéreo.
Oh, I like them. They're pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Troy Boy, Sheba-san, Valentino Khan, Ghastly, Taro Jr., Louis Capaldi, Autograph.
Wait, Louis Capaldi? Wasn't he the 12th Doctor?
No, that's Peter Capaldi.
What's the difference?
One's British.
This one could be British too. You don't know.
Moving on. Looking through this list, we're getting close to the bottom here.
When it gets smaller.
Yeah, it's getting hard to read. We have Gangs of Youth, Tyler Childers, Friendship, Duran Jones and the Indications, Basement, Cuckoo, London on the Track, K question mark D. I don't know what that is.
K? D.
Sure, whatever. We have Ikali, Post Animal, Welshy Arms, Goldfish, Alex Leahy, Pale Waves, Wallows, Madison Beer, Super Organism, The Coronas, The Regrets, Ali X, 4B, Space Jesus, Slaves, UK, Amy Shark, Freya Writings, The Hymn, not to be confused with Him.
Thank Christ.
Dream Wife, Jesse Baez, Lovely the Band, FemDot. I have to look really close to see this name. R Lum R. I don't know what these names are like. Chase Atlantic, Vera Blue, Black Gummy, Nothing Now Here. Oh shit! Motherfucking CKY!
Yeah!
And they're down at the friggin' bottom. God, that's a trap right there.
I certainly recognize them more than Super Organism.
Yeah. We have, and running this out, we have Bones, UK, DJ Ty, Fletcher, oh, nice. Morgan Saints, The Rex, The Aces, Mainland, Grace Weber, Larkin Poe, Emilia Ali, Justin Roberts and the Not Ready for Naptime Players.
What?
I don't know. KB Worley, Big Don, Q Brothers, Aaron Nigel Smith, Lucy Calentari and the Jazz Cats, and finally, the School of Rock All-Stars.
Well, he finally read all of that.
There's a lot of bands on this bill. Holy crap.
I would have gave up on the when it got really ultra small.
Jeez, no wonder this shit's 4 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, obviously all the really memorable stuff is the top third, except for, of course, wait, did you say G Herbo? I think we talked about him, like, I forget if it was an Adults and Single or something.
No, I think I mentioned him to you once that he was a Double XL freshman in 2016.
Oh, no, wait, I'm getting him mixed up with G Perico. That's the thing.
Oh,
well, G Herbo's here too.
But you forgot the two most important ones. You forgot about Rob Liefeld's Youngblood.
Oh.
And Dan Snyder's favorite band, 2 Feet.
Who?
2 Feet. It's right there. It's on the same line as London on the Track.
God.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we're going to milk this joke for all it's worth. But yeah, that's your Lollapalooza lineup. Have fun enjoying a third of this, unless you're significantly more hip and in the know than us, in which case, enjoy 2/3 of this.
But above all else, enjoy CKY.
Yeah, I bet that's going to be fun. It's going to be certainly the oddest one of the bunch. But yeah, that's basically about it for this Lollapalooza lineup thing. Man, they just kind of mash up artists on this thing like it's no one's business. That's weird. But yeah, with that out of the way, we can of course take care of the last bit of proper business, and that is of course the new album releases for the week of March 30th, 2018. Starting at the top, we have Deadmau5 with Where's the Drop, an orchestral covers album of past material of his. A new album from technical death metalers Augury with Elusive Golden Age. Julian Casablancas and the Voids with their newest album, Virtue. We have the debut full-length album from Rich the Kid with The World is Yours. We got a new project from Wu-Tang member U-God with Venom. Of course, the much-anticipated collaboration of Jean Grey and Quelle Chris with Everything's Fine. The also hotly anticipated collaboration of Sarface and MF Doom with Sarface meets Metalface. And last but certainly not least, the debut full-length album of singer Hayley Kiyoko with Expectations. I have none, because I'm not sure who Hayley Kiyoko is. I don't know a lot of things. But yeah, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, or of Azure, anywhere on the internet, but mostly on Twitter, where I will be keeping track of the Gunsmith Cats Kickstarter total, which you should contribute to because it's awesome.
I would if I had money.
You won't get charged for it for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
And I don't have money. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Of course, you can find me on Twitter at MacToHyperMedia, as always. And, of course, on my site, TheMindHyperOne, at hyperone.wordpress.com. Recently, I posted my Time of the Season winter wrap-up, as in, you know, the season's ending and all that shit. By the way, Pops and Gabbing animated season winner. So it might be of the year. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, watch that shit.
Yeah, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, if you have any, you know, offers, questions, inquiries, recipes for, you know, hamburgers or something. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. You know, audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe, hit the bell tap so you're always notified whenever new episodes of the podcast go up there. Of course, be sure to check us out online. Follow at Surreal Reso on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website www.surrealresolution.com and decibelboost.surrealresolution.com for our podcast in specific. Of course, be sure to also check out Podcast ONA, which has lots of news from what I hear.
Mm-hmm. And there will be more news to come later this weekend because, you know, it just never stops. It just keeps building and building and building.
That is correct. And, you know, be sure to check out a lot of our great Ring content. Finally reviewed that Rivers of Nihil album, which is excellent. And, of course, Mark, I hear you have something you're working on.
Yes, I do. Stay tuned for that review of Jean Grey and Curly Chris Everything Fine coming soon, hopefully. When hopefully, so yeah, and I got there early because NPR did a free listen. I won't spoil much, but yeah, it's pretty good.
Yep. So just check all that shit out. Jump into our Discord chat if you ever want to hear me rave about cup noodles, and you know, of course, shout out to producer Mr. E for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to this shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us this week. We will see you next week with more podcasty goodness. And until next time, don't give Dan Snyder pictures of feet.
God, no.
I'm wearing shoes now.